Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FCN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, August 18th. We are heading into one of the biggest fantasy football draft days of the year tomorrow, and I'm going to help get you set up. On today's podcast, I'm going to first unpack the Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott signings with their respective AFC East teams and the fantasy football implications there. Then we're going to talk a little bit about RB dead zone. What is it? How do we even know it's happening? And finally, I'll tell you about some zero RB targets, who I am looking at if I happen to go that approach. I could also be going anchor RB and still targeting these same running backs in the middle and possibly late rounds. But first, let me tell you about this contest going on. I'm seeing more and more reviews on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate everybody who is doing that. It is a contest. You could potentially win a year of FTN Fantasy Plus if you review the show, rate the show, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle on Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't listen, if you listen on another platform, Spotify, whatever, it helps the show out if you review it on Apple Podcasts. So please, you could even just download the app for a minute, review it. It takes all of a minute to do, and then delete it. That's all you have to do. And then you're entered in to win. We've already given out 4 Fantasy Plus subscriptions. How many? 4. And I'm going to give out one more, at least one more. I know I'm doing one on Monday. I may still do one after that too. So if you want to enter in now, do so. If you already are a subscriber and you want to help the show out, this is a way you can give back, right? It's a free show, but this is how you can give back by reviewing the podcast. Don't even have to put your Twitter handle or anything. And by the way, if you want Fantasy Plus without having to win it, hook it up, ftnfantasy.com. I got a promo code that gets you 10% off. It's called RATPACK, RATPACK. That will get you 10% off on the subscription. What do you get with the subscription? I think the better question is, what don't you get? I mean, we don't give you a sports bottle and a headband or anything like that, although maybe in the future, who knows. But you do get 16 different cheat sheets that will be fully updated for your fantasy football drafts, rankings, projections, galore, tiers. You like tiers? I have a tiers cheat sheet that is officially badass. You get premium content like the roadmap, which is my draft strategy article, the keeper value chart. This is just for fantasy football drafts. The rookie fantasy scouting guide, the game plan draft guide, all of those player profiles in there. That's just for drafts in season. Of course, we have the most accurate rankings in the industry, projections, tools galore, including wide receiver, cornerback, which people love that bad boy. Fully redesigned for this year with even more information and a better matchup formula. The Discord community, people love that, where you get to talk directly to me, and so much more, and you get it for an entire year. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Also, a quick shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. They are holding the Circa Millions contest. It's registering right now through September 9th. It is $1,000 to get in. You can do up to five entries if you wanted to put in multiple entries to try and maybe increase your chances of winning. Go for it. Up to 5 times. If you do win this, it's 5 games against the spread every week of the NFL season. 5 games against the spread. If you win, $1 million. Straight up. If you are top 100, you get a payout. There are quarterly payouts as well. And if you're in last place, you get $100,000. Second to last place gets $50,000. Not too shabby there from Circa. Register at Circa or one of the sister properties in Vegas, or use a proxy service if you're like me and out of state. Okay, so let's get into it. First and foremost, let's talk about Dalvin Cook and the intricacies of his contract. So we did get the contract details. It is not a simple $7 million base salary, even though that's what it's been widely reported. It is actually just over $1 million base salary with no signing bonus. And then the rest of it is essentially tied to whether or not, A, he's on the active game day roster, and then B, he's on the roster, in other words, not suspended. If he is suspended, he will not get close to $500,000, which is like $400 and change a week for any suspended time. So that suggests the Jets are fully aware that this could happen. However, if he, let's say he does play all 17 games, he would get to that $7 million mark. It would be really tough for him to get to the 8.6 top end of the contract because the Jets, one of the incentives is he gets a payout for every week they win in the postseason. So if they won the Super Bowl, he would get the whole payout. It's going to be pretty tough. I'm going to acknowledge it. No offense, Jets fans. You know it's true as well. But at its heart, if he plays all of the 17 games, he gets $7 million. $7 million is essentially the top of the market. Yes, yes, yes. You're going to tell me perhaps, if you know a thing or two about running back contracts, that Christian McCaffrey is making $16 million a year. Alvin Kamara is $15 million a year. Derrick Henry, 12.5. Nick Chubb, 12.2. None of those guys reach the open market. So if you're talking about open market, the top end was James Conner at $7 million. So he's getting top value. If you're the Jets and you have Breece Hall coming off of a breakout season, though coming off of an injury, why in the world would you spend top dollar for a veteran running back who was certainly on the back nine of his career? Spidey senses are tingling a little bit here. I think there's two things here. Number one would be that Breece Hall is not close to being back. Now, I saw a clip of him running in practice yesterday, and he seems like he is. So is there a little bit of a hedge there? That's an expensive hedge. The other, and I think this is the more likely now, is that they're acknowledging Breece Hall should not be a 300-touch guy. They're bringing in a guy who can spell him, and not spell him in the fact that Breece is a 65% and Cook is a 35%. Spell him the way that the Green Bay Packers do, in that Breece is a 55% a la Aaron Jones, who? And then Cook is a 45% a la A.J. Dillon. So that really moves Breece Hall down, move him down to 18, 19, 20 in that range. Cook stays in like the low 30s, so back end RB3. But it could create some frustrations for Breece managers out there. Ezekiel Elliott going to the New England Patriots. Just as a side note here, the biggest winner of this wasn't the Patriots or anything, or Zeke or anything. It was Tony Pollard. The fact that they did not sign Zeke, bring him back, gives me much more confidence in Tony Pollard heading into this season. But Zeke comes in a much more straightforward deal. Low signing bonus, I think it was $600K. He's just over $1 million in base salary. So if everything played out, plus a few roster bonuses, I mean, he probably ends up at about $3 million. His incentives, he would have to play 70%+ of the snaps and have 1,450 scrimmage yards in order to top out and make all of his incentives, which seems almost impossible. So the way I'm viewing Zeke is plain and simple. This is not an indictment of Ramondre Stevenson. This was an acknowledgement of the New England Patriots that they were royally screwed if Stevenson went down. All they had was Kevin Harris as a early down guy, and maybe he wasn't cutting it. So could Zeke vulture some end zone work or some goal line work? Sure, a little bit, but I'm not really overly concerned there. Ramondre Stevenson only moved down to RB12 for me. Zeke is like a late round guy if you want to take a flyer on him. Obviously, if Stevenson went down, then Elliott would get more run, but he just doesn't have much upside. So that's the issue there. So let's move on to the RB dead zone. What is it? Because it's often misunderstood. Like, for example, on Draft Board 2.0, the brand new draft board that I put out over at ftnfantasy.com for this year that matches my draft strategy, I point out the RB dead zone and backs who are graded in that range. Now, I'm not calling those backs dead zone backs. The dead zone is a period during the draft. And for me, the period will start essentially one of two ways. Either A, it's after I draft an anchor, or B, it's pretty much after the second round. If I go wide receiver in the first two rounds, then we're in the dead zone. If I go, I don't know, Bijan Robinson in round one, we're in the dead zone until round seven. That's when we finally come out of the dead zone. Now, because I have a guy graded in the dead zone doesn't necessarily mean I think he absolutely goes in the dead zone, and it does not at all mean that if he falls out of the dead zone that I wouldn't take him. Of course I'm taking him. So, for example, right now, I mentioned James Conner. I have a six-round grade on him. That is the running back dead zone. That does not mean he is a dead zone running back. It means I have a grade on him that I expect him to go in the sixth round. If he is there in the seventh, I'm scooping him up. James Cook, late fifth-round grade. Guess what? If he is available in the seventh, you're going to have to tackle me, or Rashad White or Damian Pierce. Like, you're going to have to tackle me on my way up to the board because I'm getting value on those guys. The dead zone is a period of drafts. It is not a particular type of running back. Now, there are running backs I can guarantee who will go in the dead zone. Ramondre Stevenson will. Aaron Jones will. Joe Mixon will. Kenneth Walker will. Alexander Mattison will. Travis Etienne will. Jahmyr Gibbs will. Those guys are all going dead zone. Like, there's no way they don't. And that's fine. I don't need those guys. The dead zone is a period of drafts. It is not a particular running back. I'm not going to label a running back a dead zone guy. They may have a grade in the dead zone, but that's all. So who are the most likely candidates to fall outside of the dead zone? Well, based on current ADP over at Sleeper, I compiled a list. It's in a free article over at ftnfantasy.com. If you're not a subscriber, you listen to the podcast, you dig what I do, or maybe, do you hate listen? I know I have people on the radio show, my SiriusXM show, who hate listen to me. They just despise me, but they listen to every second. So if you're one of those with the podcast, man, you're the real deal if you really hate me. But anyway, if you like what I do and you want to get a sense of what we do, go check it out. We have a lot of free stuff to offer, you know, so you can get a sense of everything there at ftnfantasy.com. But here's what I'm seeing at Sleeper. So DeAndre, I'm going to start in the sixth round because these guys could still fall outside of the dead zone. DeAndre Swift at 601. These are ADPs, not where I'm suggesting taking them, by the way. I have all of that in rankings in my draft board. I mean, right now there's a lot of momentum for Kenny Gainwell, but Swift didn't play in last night's preseason game. He's all but locked in. We know the explosive upside. He's a risk, but sometimes risks, well, where there's risk, there's reward. James Conner, I mean, come on. The team stinks. We know that, but he has no competition for touches, and he can be a three-down back. Now, Connor does miss a game or two here and there, but really nice value in this range. Dalvin Cook is going in this range. I have no issue with taking him. He's going at 608, Connor at 606. I have no issue taking him. I just know I'm going to be on the wrong side of the committee almost certainly, and there it's boom or bust. But with this team, he will get that outside zone, you know, Shanahan-inspired offense with Nathaniel Hackett, and we'll see how it works for him. But he's on the wrong side of the committee with Breece Hall. Rashad White. Okay, now we're into the seventh round, and I have seen White slide at times. If he doesn't slide, it's not a big deal, but he's very similar to James Conner. Bad roster, but no competition for touches. True three-down skill set, except unlike Conner, he's a little bit more explosive, so he could be fun. Isaiah Pacheco, 703. Pretty much guaranteed to be the early down guy. But if he gets 15 plus carries per game, that won't be too bad in that offense. The one challenge with Pacheco is the fact that Mahomes is so efficient in the red zone. So there's not a lot of like goal line work, but still, I mean, you're getting a nice discount on the lead early down back on a very, very good offense. Javonte Williams. All right. 705. Here's my request. Javonte Williams, if you are listening to this in the preseason this weekend, you are going to get about a dozen snaps. We are told from Sean Payton that you may have three or four carries. With those three or four carries, let's say you have three carries, can you just average 4 yards a carry? Can you just go three carries for 12 yards? Please don't rip off a 45 or 50-yard run. Please, whatever you do, Javonte Williams, please do not rip off a 30, 40, 50-yard run that breaks Twitter. Please don't do that. Because if you continue on this pathway, we still might be able to get you outside of the dead zone. But if he has one of those runs, if he does an Amir Abdullah, then we're all screwed. All right. David Montgomery, 709. Jamal Williams had 33 goal line carries last season in Detroit. Of the two running backs atop the depth chart, Monty and Jahmyr Gibbs, Monty much more suited to that role. So Monty should get a lot of work. I don't think he gets 33 goal line carries. That's an outlier. But what if he gets 17, 18, 19? He's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and you're getting at a very discounted price, especially compared to where Gibbs is going. James Cook, 802. Every report out of Buffalo suggests that he is now the lead back, and not only that, could play a three-down role. And I actually believe it looking at the depth chart. Damian Harris can't stay healthy. Latavius Murray, I would say he's really old, but he's like 10 years younger than me. So he's football old. Let's call him that. So James Cook, more momentum here. A.J. Dillon, 807. We know what to expect from him now, of course. It is a 55-45 split with Aaron Jones, but he can put up more than enough to give you top 30 numbers there, and we're one Aaron Jones injury away from A.J. Dillon being a top 12 fantasy option. Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson. So 810 for Gibson, 903 for Robinson. I think we know what to expect here with Eric Bieniemy coming over from Kansas City. It's going to be a Gibson in the McKinnon role, a Robinson in the Pacheco role, and that's it. That's the options right there. So if we have those two in those roles, Gibson has a higher ceiling, a lower floor. Robinson has a higher floor, a lower ceiling on a week-to-week basis. So you kind of pick your poison. I would not want both of them. I would not. Some other guys to look at here, Jamal Williams going at 905. He'll be the lead back with Kamara suspended, but once Kamara comes back, he should slide back to just more of a number two, not even a 1A. Rashad Penny at 907. There's volatility here because there's a lot of momentum for Kenneth Gainwell. Penny only had two carries last night, but one of them was a 16-yard run where he looked pretty good. Zach Charbonnet at 909. You're not cuffing Kenneth Walker here, but you know you're taking the other piece of the backfield and hoping he's used more than at least initial reports are suggesting. Samaje Perine, 912, getting a piece of that Denver backfield. Khalil Herbert has looked good in the preseason at 1004. Could be the lead back there. I also like Roschon Johnson. He's going 1506 in ADP. That's too low. He won't go that late in your league, so I'm not worried about the ADP, just more about highlighting guys on my board. Three more rookies to highlight here, Devon Achane, Tank Bigsby, Kendre Miller. All very different. Well, Miller and Bigsby are closer to each other than the Achane, but rookies typically don't show up early in the season, but can pop later, so you just have to have a little bit of patience, like our friend Axl Rose once told us. There you go. Target those running backs if you go zero RB or hero RB, punt RB2, anchor RB, whatever you want to call it. Remember, review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave your Twitter handle in the review and rate the podcast as well, and you're entered in to win a year of Fantasy Plus. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Dominate those drafts, man. Don't wait. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. And I'm going to catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.